Hello. No, I am got scripture. I'm just got it from the message, so that's why. Yeah. Okay. Father, we do come and thank you for the privilege and the honor of representing you tonight. Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise. And Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the anointing, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, my prayer is that this message you've given us, Lord, will go out and accomplish in every heart what you want it to do. And it will not come back void, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's all about the seed. Okay, first the seed, then the harvest. There is a law regarding seed in life that runs throughout the universe. The nature of the seed determines the nature of the life which comes from it. Amen? Okay. If the seed is perishable and corruptible, the life that comes from it will likewise be perishable and corruptible. This little seed that I've got in my hands is packed with DNA of the broad bean, I think it's called. I don't like them myself, but I wanted to get a seed that I could see. That's why I got a bigger seed. But you know what? Ever since creation, the DNA in this seed, God spoke it into being. And just to help you out, help myself too, when I was a young Christian, I could never understand how trees knew when it was time to grow their leaves, time to grow their flowers, and time to grow the fruit. To me, they were wood, you know, and I thought, where does their brain come from, you know? But it comes from God speaking it in creation, the seed, the power of the seed. Those trees are a hunk of wood, but they know when to do their thing, and then they turn into twigs, and you cut them up and put them in the fire. But that really, if people say there's no God, I don't know what, but that sort of got me going, you know. Think about it, eh? It's only a hunk of wood, but it's the power of God's word. It's the power and the authority of God's word. When he speaks his word, happens, but it just doesn't happen for a fortnight. It happens for eternity. I want you to remember this because as I go down, you'll catch what I'm trying to get at. Okay? Now, we know that Satan's seed is corrupt, evil, and if you look at the lives that he touches and he speaks into, I mean, I've got a brother who committed suicide. I've got another brother who was killed in a car crash. He was drunk. I mean, I won't go into my life because you've all heard it, but just to see what he does to lives, his seed is corruptible. It's imperishable, it's rotten, and it brings forth death. That's the power of his seed. There's no life in the seed of the enemy. I spent 22 years with him ruining my life. And the rest, however I am, God's got. I'm not arithmetic, man. Okay. But however, we know the seed of the word of God is divine, eternal, imperishable, and corruptible. Therefore, the new life that is in us that comes forth from that seed is the same as the seed of Jesus Christ. Now, every time a preacher gets up, whether it's a kid or a grown up, gets up and preaches, that is sowing the seed, right? But sometimes we don't even catch it. We don't even understand it. We just let it go, boom, past us, and we totally miss it. Even tonight, God is sowing seed, you know? Right, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 to 23. From the message. When anyone hears news of the kingdom and does not take it in or does not understand it, it just remains on the surface, and so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. Okay? Now, just to give a little illustration, I've asked Andrew, does he mind? But he said, nah, he's game. Just say, for instance, tonight, God is sowing a seed of salvation. Now, when God is drawing you to his kingdom, he just doesn't do it in one night. He actually sows into your life. Like before I got saved, my darling mother would send tracts to me. And then I'd read them, or try and read them. But all that time, God was sowing his word into my spirit. And the night I went to the home group, yes, I was drunk. I went to the pub. I thought, man, you know, I need Dutch courage here. I went to the pub, but you know what? I gave my heart to the Lord that night. Even though I was stunk of alcohol, I gave my heart to the Lord. You know what? The seed of salvation came. And you know what it hit me? It was this. I want Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. That's all I said. And I stuck my hand up and I gave my heart to the Lord in 1969. The seed. Even though I was pickled, it didn't stop God from putting that seed into my heart. But you see, sometimes, say we're preaching a message on salvation, and God's been sowing into Andrew's heart, and the seed hits Andrew, right? Now, if Andrew doesn't understand it, or he can't take it in, it falls to the surface, okay? And I want to show you what's going to happen. Not just yet, I just want to show you that bit first. Okay. Now, the salvation message could be about salvation. And Andrew's going, but how can God save me? How do I get saved? And yet God's been working on his heart right up till now. And all of a sudden then, if like me, he catches it, he will put up his hand. It could be about love. Now, this is my tough one. When we grew up, we didn't know what love was. We were never shown it. We were never told, I love you. Nothing like that. That happened in our age back there, eh? And love, and how can Jesus love me? When I'm a drug addict, I'm alcohol, I'm a thief. I've been here, I've been there, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. How can God love me? And all of a sudden, the seed of God comes, and you just know, there's something different. And God touches your heart, but you don't understand it. You can't take it in. And it's sitting on the surface. Don't forget what I'm saying, okay, because it's coming up to something down a bit. It sits on the surface of the heart. It could be about forgiveness. How can God forgive me when I've done this, I've done that, and I've done this? But I want to be forgiven. I can't forgive this person, but I want to be forgiven. I want Jesus. That cries and people, Lord, I want to be forgiven. And the seed of that message comes into the heart of that person. But if they don't take it in or they can't understand it, it just sits there. And here's the dangerous part. Now, I'll just hold that in your heart. This is a seed on the gravel now. This is the one who hears the word and instantly responds with enthusiasm. But there is no soil of character. And so when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, there is nothing to show for it. Just say, for instance, we came to church this morning and heard Andrew preach, which is very, very good, And then, that was powerful, man. Woo! Go to take my kid off to preschool, and some dingling backs into my car. I get out of my car. You nuthead. You get out of my car. Look, I've just bought this car. And look at you. I'm going to take you to court. I'm going to ring the cops and you, the person. And yet before that, I was dancing like mad on Sunday night. It just hits the ground. It's shallow. There's nothing in it. And that is where Satan wants you to stay as a Christian. He does not want you to become good soil. Because if you become good soil and allow the seed of God to get into you, you become a threat to him. While you are casual which is the first one, hard soil. Why are you casual? You're no threat to him. You're careless with your walk. You're careless with your life. The shallow person, the shallow ground. Yes, you respond for a little bit, then when something goes wrong, there's nothing there. There's no roots. And the seed just cannot take root, and you become easily nothing. You're no threat to the enemy. That's where Satan wants you. The seed cast in the weeds of the person who hears the kingdom news, but the weeds and the worries of illusions about getting more and wanting everything under the sun strangles what was heard, and nothing comes of it. Once again, they become carnal-minded. Now, that's where Satan wants you to stay. He does not want you to become the good soil. Okay. The first part of the soil is the casual person. The second part is a shallow person. And the third is the worldly. Now we're coming to what God showed me, okay? I had to cover those. I was preparing this word, and I came to a brick wall. And I got up, and I said, Dad, I don't know what you want to do with this. I'm struggling. And all of a sudden, he opened my eyes. And this is what you're going to get now, okay? But I had to cover that. Okay. But first of all, what is a kingdom? What is a kingdom? Eh? Oh, no. The kingdom is, it's God's ruling as supreme king, working in the world with love and power. It's God, the kingdom of God is God's will being supreme. He is the king. We're serving under him. He is the main boss, if I can put it like that. That's the kingdom of God, where God rules and reigns as king, as supreme king. And we're under that authority. That is the kingdom of God, and a lot of people don't understand that. Okay. I want to go back to verse 18 again. When anyone hears the news of the kingdom and doesn't take it in or does not understand it, it just remains on the surface, and so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of that person's heart. Now, I'll just have a little drink. Here we go, Andrew. Now, the word of God is sitting right there on Andrew. Can you hold it, Debo? Now, the devil comes along and he goes, whoop! And he plucks it from Andrew. I got a question for you. Why does the devil steal the seed when it's just sitting on his heart and it's going to fall? Why does he bother to take it? Why? Why doesn't he just leave it? It's not got into his heart. It's not going to change his life. Why does he take it? Why does he pinch that seed? Yes, Mum. Good one. That's why. I'm going home there. No. He takes that seed because he understands the power of the DNA in the seed. He knows that this seed is going to transform a person's life. When I was preparing this, I looked back at my own life when I was 22 and I gave my heart to the Lord. And I look at my life now, and I'm not educated, okay? I got kicked out of school because I beat up a bigger boy, and I got kicked out of school, and I had to go and work for my brother, you know, which is very nice of him. But I had no education. I'm not a clever fella, okay? Now, this seed that Satan pinches off Andrew, he is scared stiff of that seed. When you hear a message and it goes poof, That is a seed God is planting in your spirit. That is a promise. You know what a lot of us do? We don't even recognize it. We let it go. We don't even know that God's putting something. I want to share with you. I had a really bad week one week, and I was depressed and all that, and I came to church. And Pastor Illy was preaching on Peter, where he failed 3 times. And I'm going, I shouldn't have come to church. That's me, Lord. I wonder if he's got another one, because I'll sure fit it. And then he said, but, I went, but? He said this, the Lord would not give up on Peter because he invested into Peter's life. Well, that seed went woof like that. And I grabbed that seed and I held it. And I said to the Lord on the way home, have you invested into my life, Lord? Or did you just save me so I could go to heaven? What have you done? Are you invested into my life? And you know what? He, all the way home and through that night, he showed me the areas where he had invested into my life. I should have been killed 3 times. I shouldn't be here. And my wife will verify that. I should be dead. She should be a widow. Fair dinkum. But she's not. Poor thing. No. Sorry, love. Now. Oh, yeah. And I guarded that seed. I prayed over it. I protected it. And now it's unpacking itself into my life. And it's going to shoot up and bring forth a harvest. That is what Satan is scared of, people. Don't let him take the seed off you. Don't let him. Don't let him. John 10:10. The thief comes only to kill and destroy. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it in its fullness. God, every time you open your heart and you receive that seed, I want to tell you something. That seed is this. One, listen now, it's the Word of God. Two, it's Jesus Christ himself. And three, it's spiritual eternity and riches in our life. And that seed gets in here, it's got to do something. Like that tree still blossoms, that's because of the seed, the DNA. It still brings forth, what do you call those things? Flowers, and then it brings forth fruit. That's us. Think about it. That's us. We grow leaves. In other words, we get a new life. We grow flowers, which is beauty, God's glory, God's beauty. And then out of that, we bring forth fruit. Did you know, if we allowed the seed of God to hit us, that this church, Christians would turn this place up the right way. Honestly. I remember years ago, I was in a church, and we were sitting at the back, and all I could hear was these young people, young people talking. And I said to myself, why have they come to church? They have missed the divine moment of the seed. They've missed it. If God was talking to them, they wouldn't have heard it because they were busy talking to each other and the Word of God couldn't get there. Now, I'll read this to you. The seed signifies the principle of spiritual life as imparted to you, the believer, which abides in him without possibly of removal or destruction. The child of God remains eternally related to Christ. I want to read that again, okay? Don't step on it. The seed signifies the principle of spiritual life as imparted to you, the seed, the believer, which abides in him without possibly of removal or destruction. Once the seed of God or the word of God gets into your heart, it cannot be removed by Satan and it cannot be destroyed by him. We're the only ones that can hinder it because of our free will and our carnal nature. Okay? The child of God remains eternally related to Christ. We're related to... We're related to Christ for eternity. Satan, once you let the seed in, once you let the word of God in, Satan cannot come in and take that seed. He has had it. He's finished. He cannot touch it. He cannot destroy it. He cannot pinch it. It is yours. It will transform your life. It'll make you a holy person. It'll make you like Christ because the seed is Christ. Every time you reject that seed, you are rejecting Christ. Tonight, God's throwing seeds out. Now, some sermons you go to or messages you go to, there's no seeds. I've been to messages where I've sat there and I thought, man, that was awesome. But it wasn't my time to get a seed because I was in the place where God wanted me to be. Okay? Maybe next week I'll get it. You know, but I'm just saying, sometimes you won't get a seed. Don't panic because you're in the right place where God wants you to be. But when God is sowing a seed and it hits you and you let it go, do you realize you're letting Christ go? Because he is the seed? That's his word? I wonder how he feels. What is good soil? When they talk about the soil of your heart, what does it really mean? I took a while to get this one. What is good soil? It can mean your true character or personality. The inner self that thinks, feels, and decides. A heart after God or a heart hungry for God. That is good soil. That is good soil. I'll read it again. It can mean your true character or your personality. The inner self that feels, thinks, feels, and decides. A heart after God or hungry for God. Okay, I'll just say this again. The seed is the word of God. The seed is Jesus Christ. The seed is life-changing and eternal. Coming, is this all right? Okay, coming to an end. Quick message, eh? Ephesians 4:27. And do not give the devil a foothold. How many of us Christians give him a foothold without realizing we are giving him a foothold? You know, I remember once I was preaching in the church and these two girls were doing their hair. The other one was doing the other one's hair. And I just stopped and I went like this. And all of a sudden they looked up and then they stopped. And I still know those girls and I still talk to them. One works in the preschool where my granddaughter, great-granddaughter goes, and it's good. But you know what? Don't give the devil a foothold. When you come to church, be hungry for what God wants to say to you. Don't come to see your mates and talk to your mates and have a good power. Don't do that because you're going to miss out on what God wants to do in your life. You know, God's dream and God's purpose and God's is to make us Christ-like. You know that? Because if we're Christ-like, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. But if you're not Christ-like, he will belt the stuffing out of you because you're giving him a foothold. I'm 71 now, and I have, in my early Christian walk, I didn't know much because I never had anyone to disciple me and I couldn't read. My kids had to teach me to read and spell. They had to teach me to spell. So I went downhill quite a few times. But somehow there was something in me that made me stand up again. Something in me made me stand up. And it was God. God had compassion on me because I was a thick brick. And he knew, that boy of mine, he's got a brick for a head. But he, you know what? He loved me so much that he just hung on to me. He did what he did to Peter. He wouldn't let me go because he's invested into my life and in your life. Right now, each one of you sitting here tonight has been invested in by God. I can tell you that. Now, I want to say this bit here. James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Okay, that's the first part. A lot of us go this way. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But we forget the part, submit yourself therefore to God. We leave that out. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, people, I just want to backtrack my little bus of it. And I want to say this. We are a threat to darkness. Wherever we go, darkness flees. Have you ever turned the light on in a dark room? The darkness doesn't go, I'm still here. Poof. It doesn't do that. It goes, poof, gone. But you turn the light out, boom, it's back again. Okay? Now, that's exactly what the devil does. When we are walking in God and we've submitted ourselves to God and we allow the word of God to come and hit us and begin to do something in our life to make us Christ-like, Satan has to flee. Turn the light on. He has to flee. He cannot stay because we are a threat to him. He's not a threat to us. He's been disarmed. In Colossians 2:15, I think it is, or 3:15, one of them. He's been disarmed. He has no power, no authority over a born-again Christian. The devil's not attacking you. But he will attack you if you allow him to attack you. The only power Satan has is the power that you give him. If you don't give him any power, he's got no power. If the light is turned on, he can't come. This is why the seed is so important in our lives, to let it come in and take a hold of our lives. Let it change our lives. Let us to become like Christ, because that's what the seed is all about. That's God's dream. That's God's dream. That's his dream, is that we become like Christ. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us smacked over by the enemy. He's dealt with the enemy. And he's making us to be like Christ. Okay. Is that okay? Now, I was having a prayer time before I came. I'm not going to make an altar call unless you want to come down, but I'm going to do this. It was all right, Andrew. I asked the Lord, well, what do you want to do, Lord? And I'm going to share something with you, then I'll tell you. That evangelist man that was here, yeah, God sowed a seed in my heart, and it was this. He said this, if you can believe for God to forgive you, why can't you believe for God to heal you? And I'm sitting in there, and my body has been riddled with arthritis. My joints, I've had x-rays, and they don't look very, very, very nice, you know. Last night, yesterday at my baby's birthday party, I kicked the balloon. It was the worst thing I ever did. I just shouldn't have kicked that balloon. It was only a balloon. But anyway, he said, Christ took our sins to the cross upon himself, now listen to this, and he's forgiven us. He also took our diseases, our afflictions, our infirmities upon the cross, and he's healed us. He's took our shame and our guilt, condemned all those things to the cross. And yet we struggle with those things except the forgiveness of sins. And I went, oh God, and here's the mistake I made. My head said, you're 71, Barry. This is going to happen to you as you get older. So accept it. And I did. But I did. No, I gave the devil an opportunity. And until he said that, and then and here's the key. I repented. I repented. And I will not accept. Even though I get pain, I had pain in my legs last night, but I just rebuked them. And that's what I'm going to keep doing, because I now believe that God took my infirmities. I can die a healthy man. My mother died at 92 of old age. She needed another head, but the rest of her body was good. You know? But she died of old age. You can die of old age healthy. That is not wrong. And that's what I want to do. Not yet. Damn it. So what we're going to do tonight is, I believe God wants us to repent for wasting the seed, for not taking notice of that seed when he's sown it into our hearts. I'm talking about the Holy Father of God. When he loves you so much, he planted that seed. And at times we didn't catch it, or we didn't want it, or we let the enemy pinch it. Now, what the Lord is asking tonight is for us to repent, like I repented of missing that, accepting the fact that I missed the seed totally. Now, it's going to be a brave thing to do, but it's no shame on you. No one's going to be going, oh, they're not going to be doing that. Because we all really should stand, to be perfectly honest with you, including this fella. Except Lynn, because she's got baby who's sound asleep. Now, okay, so we're just going to close. Father, tonight we thank you for your word. I thank you for your divine holy word. Lord, when you created heaven and earth, you spoke it. It was your word, the power of the word of God. That same power is what comes when you bring a word forth from a vessel. It's still the same power, Lord God, and authority, your word. It's still there. Nothing's changed. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And tonight, Father, I pray that the hearts that you are speaking to and just saying, come on, repent of letting my seed fall to the ground. Repent of not taking my seed in. Repent of even not recognizing it. And I pray, Father God, that we will. Father, in Jesus' name. Now, while every head's bowed, can I just ask those who want to come to that place where they want to repent? You don't have to come down front. You just do it where you are. But just stand to your feet, and we're going to pray, okay? Thank you. Thank you very much. Praise God for honesty. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Well, that is awesome. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to say the prayer, and you can say your own prayer, but if you want to say the prayer after me, that's fine. Dear Lord Jesus, I repent tonight of not allowing your seed to take root in my life. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for not recognizing it. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for allowing the enemy to come and take the beautiful word of God from my heart. And tonight, Father God, no more. I repent in Jesus' name of that sin. And from now on, Father, with your help and your strength, that'll never happen again in Jesus' name. Amen.